Hello, welcome to Radio Evolve. My name is Mike Kauschke, and I'm very happy that Elizabeth Diebold is joining me today. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hey Mike, it's great to see you. It's great to be with you in this forum.
Yeah, usually Elizabeth and I are colleagues working on the Evolve magazine, and today we meet here to speak about the gift of interbeing, which is related to our recent issue of Evolve magazine, with the title Interbeing, the Emergence of a New Consciousness. And Elizabeth, you wrote an article in that magazine together with Thomas Steininger on the gift of interbeing.
Yes.
And maybe to start with, I mean, interbeing is a big word, is a word that also has by now a certain tone and tradition, you can say, in how it is used. And maybe to start, how would you speak to what interbeing is, what it means, what it points to?
What interbeing is in the work that we do is a living presence that has that is called into awareness by collectives of people, that it's something that happens between people, that brings forward a different level of intelligence and synergetic or synergistic possibility. And it's often thought of as we space, we space work, but this is beyond the we. I know some people talk about the me we speak speak the me we space, or different ways of trying to combine our individuation as human beings. The fact that we are at this point, we have cultivated ourselves in our uniqueness, in our psychological self-awareness, our recognition of trauma and capacity to work and transcend our trauma, you could say. But this is how do we take what is the step beyond the individuation that is so amazing in human, I mean, it's an amazing occurrence over the last several thousand years of human history coming to this point, but it's also showing its downside, that it also is a major source of fragmentation, alienation, a sense of being cut off from the whole. And interbeing is an opening into wholeness and recognizing that wholeness that we can recognize together as a collective presence is a new direction for us as human beings. A new direction that has a new creative force behind it, a new, you could say, a new kind of love, that it is, and it's not the invention of some mind, and that's what we mean by the gift of interbeing. It's a gift. It's like life. No one thought life into being, unless you want to be metaphorical and say that God did so. But life is. And interbeing, when highly individuated human beings are able to meet in a shared awareness of what is between us, interbeing comes to the fore. And that which comes to the fore has an intelligence and a motive of synthesis, of bringing things together, of resolving paradox, that is not available to us as individual minds.
So you're saying, or you're making a distinction that it's not that individuals come together in some kind of group or we space, and then, adding our creativity together, or even coming into some kind of dialogue, then something new emerges or something interesting shows itself, but that it's coming from a different source, or a different source is showing itself or making itself known in, when we come together with that awareness that you're pointing to.
Well, it's interesting because there is only one source, right? Source is source. But there, it's, you're right in that, in what you're pointing to is that there's, that we start from the recognition that we are not separate, not as an intellectual statement, like, I know we're all separate, or we're all the other way around. I know we're not separate. Everything is one. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but a lot of people who have achieved and experienced states of oneness, states of unbelievable undividedness, that they often that often is a state that distinguishes them from other people. It's like they have this and other people don't, which is the root of separation to, right there. And it's like, how do we start from the actual sense of non-separation? How do we find in how do we train our sensing capacity and our awareness to be able to begin from wholeness and from undividedness, not as concepts, but as a felt living experience. And it's that is different, I think, that is different with this interbeing work than the we space work that you mentioned. So we're not saying let's come together and try to get to wholeness. We're saying wholeness is when you pay attention, when you slow down, when you open your awareness, a field is present, and one can sense into that field, and that field holds an intelligence and a motivation and gifts for us.
And how can you say a bit more about that tuning in? Because what you're saying is that, it doesn't need, in a certain way, a kind of process or kind of effort to get to wholeness, but pointing to that wholeness is already our nature. But usually that is not apparent to us also. So
Yeah.
how to move into that sensing of wholeness, that is the kind of starting point you're speaking about.
I think it's like right now. That we can. Sensing is not an intellectual activity. Sensing is something that comes from our embodiment, our capacity for awareness. And if you notice that awareness doesn't isn't held, we often think about consciousness as something up here. So which is part of consciousness. But we are conscious beings in totality. And it's first a shift away from that kind of mental focus and trying, you know, I mean, I know I spent years meditating on consciousness that was somewhere up there and above my head and kind of in front of me and really trying to be conscious of my consciousness. And that's not what we're talking about. But a relaxing and opening one, it's like the light in the room. It's like if I point to the light in the room, or the light that is between us, there's something that comes into awareness that is beyond my mind, beyond my ideas, and that begins to open something up that I can't quite define. And that's the beginning. I mean, the beginning is the capacity to sense into the field that is created when human beings come together. And sometimes we're aware of that. Like we're aware when we walk into a church, when there's a kind of something draws our attention up and open and we quiet our something quiets in us, or in a forest. There is something about the space between us. I know John Vervaeke says that space is pure relationality. It's open to relatedness in every possible way. And this, so these spaces that we inhabit and go in and out of, we're often not so conscious of their characteristics or what's really happening. I walk into a church. I remember being in Strasbourg, and there's a beautiful cathedral there. And I was in a queue of people going in, and there was a family of three in front of me with an 8-year-old girl, about eight. And we walked into the church with the dark, like the inside of a mountain, but with these glorious stained glass windows. And she just went, oh, wow. That, it's like, that is not an intellectual response. That's a response to the space, the space that is present in that cathedral. And it's like that points to something, that there's something in our sensing capacity that goes beyond the limits of my embodiment and actually fills the spaces that we inhabit. And to slow down and to be with people who are tuned into this space can transmit something that makes access for others possible.
And it also points in a way to that gift that you talked about, that because this wow moments that you are speaking to also somehow are moments where this gift somehow becomes apparent. I mean, the gift of life, or the gift of participating in life, or in a moment like that, or in a church, or in a special, just in a moment of relatedness, that somehow there is a kind of maybe falling into something deeper in life, that is like, oh, wait a moment. There's actually something much deeper going on than I thought about. And somehow, yeah, I can relate to that, that this is a sense of a gift, of gratitude, of life showing itself in a deeper way. And that this can be a practice together. That for me is somehow that gift of interbeing as somehow finding a way as human beings to somehow tune ourselves together into that deeper dimension or the deeper happening of life that we are always in, but often not so aware of.
The gift of interbeing is a new gift of life, I guess you could say. And by gift, I think, as I mentioned before, meaning that it's not something one has to work for, although one has to make choices. One has to make a choice for it. And at this point in our development, that's not a small thing. Because to accept this gift and to open oneself in the deepest part of one's being to it. People talk about it as a heart space, but it's even deeper than that. That this capacity of opening to it is something that we have to cultivate, because it asks us to choose something that we can't quite grasp, or we actually can't really grasp it at all. That it's not something you can fix and you can have. It's something that is a gift that demands that we give to it in order to access it or be awake to it. It's not something that one can sense it, but it's not something that we make up. It's not something that we have. We can cultivate our capacities, but we can't create this. We can co-create with it, but it's not a function of the human mind. It's more a function of the human spirit and the wholeness that is the seamlessness of life. The fact that you can't extract anything from life, or you can't knock out a species without altering in some profound way the whole of the biosphere, the whole of life, which is also what interbeing gives us access to. Is that sense of wholeness and the fact that we can't, except, well, it makes apparent that separation is an illusion through one's own experience, and not just sitting on a cushion in meditation, but in dialogue and talking to other human beings who are also open to, and I would bring this in, a longing for wholeness, which is what interbeing gives us, is a response to that longing.
Yeah, and what you said also with the giving somehow, I feel it's a beautiful, somehow a beautiful opening with the gift and the giving, so that it is, there's not really something to have or to gain in a certain way as a kind of concept or idea or even experience or whatever, but it's much more what you're pointing to, a letting go into a kind of constant availability to life at it sh as it shows up from that wholeness, but never being able to somehow to find in a certain way a resting place or a kind of place where, oh, now I have it. But it's a kind of a, yeah, somehow a constant availability to that wholeness as it shows itself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's being a it's being available to give to it, being available to be a conduit for it, being available to bring one's deepest life experience and to it to this space and its intelligence to allow ourselves to be worked by it and transformed by it, to find that we are not isolated human beings, that we are already living out of a wholeness that we can't comprehend. But when we become aware of that and cultivate that sensing capacity, that takes us into another realm of possibility as human beings.
Now, how would you speak to that possibility? What becomes possible?
Well, what becomes possible is a different kind of a co-conscious creativity, meaning that the individual experience that we have is brought together in dialogue. We use the practice of emergent dialogue is a practice that a practice of interbeing. It's a practice of dialogue that teaches us how to become available to this dimension of life force and creative life force that can make a different dimension of co-creativity possible. And I mentioned at the very beginning that it also resolves the paradoxes that have fragmented modern culture, like self and other, even mind and body. I mean, all those sort of basic dualities that are part of modernity and part of what has created us as so isolated from the whole, and or having the sense that that's what we are. But it's this co-consciousness that we're just tipping our toes into. This capacity to truly think together. And I don't mean just following a thread in a conversation, but to be in a creative vortex together that is driven by an intelligence that is beyond us. And yet, it's also calling us into a deeper recognition of who we are as human beings, and opening us to a possibility for creativity that takes our own unique experience and brings it into relationship with others in a way that is synergistic and that opens potentials that we haven't, or resolves paradox, as I was saying, that opens a potential for new solutions to problems, that gives us a larger perspective on who we are, in ways that are often humbling, actually, that bring you to your knees. It's like, wow, what was that? How did that happen? And I'm sure many of us have had that experience, have had an experience something like that in a conversation with others about something that really was important to you, or some context, some workshop that you touch into this something, a force, an awareness, a field that catalyzes something that is deeply creative, that you haven't really, you don't qu quite know where it came from. That's what we're working with. That's what emergent dialogue is. It's creating that possibility, or kind of, what position do we have to take in order to be able to be vulnerable to this and available to this, and so that in what we call interbeing can work through us.
Yeah, and what you're speaking to is really a deeper intelligence of life, of wholeness that shows itself. And I feel it's also in my experience, there is a deep kind of healing quality in that, because all these divides get somehow integrated or much more into one, into wholeness, like you said, body and mind, thinking and feeling, sensing and knowing, and but then also myself and others, like when we together participating in a wholeness, that is where the intelligence is not coming from a certain person or a certain, you could say, frame of thinking, but from the moment and from the wholeness itself, it somehow, yeah, it has that sense of being humble and somehow being at the, how you say, just witnessing something emerging or showing itself, but in a certain way that is also not, it's not an it, it's not, it's also us, it's also very much ourselves, and through participating in that and see also who we are as individuals can shine in a much deeper way than in the kind of separate way. So all this kind of, to me, it seems also like certain patterns or even structures of mind and consciousness that we have learned are somehow really transformed into something else, that we become somehow really as agents of that wholeness together.
Yeah. Nicely said, dear colleague. Nicely said. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the point, is becoming agents of emergence, of being at the edge of creation together. And the important one of the most important words is the together. That we do this. This is not an individual project. You don't experience interbeing alone. One can experience consciousness and openness, but the creative power of interbeing, when it emerges, and when it is catalyzed in a group, is something that is not, yeah, that only on, the doors only open when we're together to this possibility, which shows that there is something that's beyond individuation. There's something that's beyond the cultivation of self. That is a new a pathway forward, and it's a pathway that responds to the profound sense of alienation and disconnection and meaninglessness that so many people feel at this point, that is driving addiction, driving even things that are featured in the news that are the product of nihilism and really a kind of abject sense that nothing really means anything or is worth anything, let alone your own life. And this is something that in plugging you into being at the edge of creation together with other human beings and other human beings who you might not even know well gives you a confidence in this life force, a confidence in life itself, that there is something working here, even particularly at times like this, where so much is going down, where so much distress and so many disturbing things are happening. All the core values of the liberal democratic society are being rocked. It's partly because of this alienation and disconnection and that so many feel. But it's so it's it really directly addresses this issue. It's like no. It's you're not separate. You're not going to just develop in your separation, trying to find your way to meaning. There is something inherently meaningful in coming together with other human beings, in recognizing the field that we share of consciousness, of awareness, and starting to learn how to be available to that together. That points to a purpose for human being or capacities for human being that we haven't really seen before. And they are, as you said before, the engaging in this heals that separation, heals that sense of isolation and separation. It's like, oh wow, there is something whole that is inherently meaningful, and there's something inherently good about life itself.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to just a core dilemma of our culture, or how we live, that this kind of nihilism, and also a certain relativism, and that there is not, there is might be meaning, and we can bring meaning to our lives, and that's also good. But what you are saying, and also what my experience is of that wholeness, is that somehow that life itself, the wholeness of life itself, carries deep meaning and goodness and beauty and truth, that there is something inherent in consciousness, in existence, that is that, and that can come forth in moments where we are available to that, and and some are open to that wholeness and what it brings forth, and not as a idea or not made up, but as a shared experience. And that also somehow how we say that verifies it, you know, when we can look at something together and say, oh yeah, that's what it is showing, what life is showing now in the moment. Like there's a kind of a there's somehow a joy and a beauty and in somehow seeing something together, seeing a meaning together, sensing a connectedness together, or an insight, or going deeper into something like what even connectedness means, or whatever it is that we are looking into. When there is a kind of a also understanding on a deeper level, we see, oh yeah, this is what life is, or what is a potential that is showing itself from life to us. Somehow that has a deep, it's just such a deep sense of oneness in we say that oneness in process, oneness in sensing into meaning together as it shows itself.
Where you realize that you're part of this enormous process, and the process has, and that you are a process. You and together we can be in the process of creation. And the sense of pure positivity of that creation, that when we meet in sincerity without all of our masks on, because this isn't accessed through our pretense, the roles that we play in culture, the jokesters that we are, or the tragedians, or however it is that we have assembled our personalities. Our personalities are available to us, but as a resource about what it means to be human and what choices lead to what as human beings. And it's that dropping, that kind of dropping away of mass and pretense, and daring to be sincere, that opens something that one senses is life itself. And that sense of life itself, it inherent in it, as you're saying, is goodness, truth, and beauty. And it's almost shocking to discover that. That Plato was right, or was it Plato or Aristotle?
Plato, I think.
What? Plato, you
Plato, I
think?
think.
That inherent in the And you just you begin to discover what is inherent in the fabric of life itself, because you're creating at the edge of it, and this is your experience. It's not your idea. I mean, you can talk about topics and ideas and so forth, but there's something that happens in the process itself that reveals what life is. And that is something that everyone should experience. Everyone should have the luck to explore and discover, because then one has a deeper sense of what it means to be human, why we're here, why life is something that should be honored and protected. And it becomes the foundation of a moral orientation, of an ethical kind of frame. And it's not because someone told you so. It's because it was emergent out of your experience in engaging with the space between us. And learning or allowing something to emerge from that recognition. And that's pretty, I feel it's actually essential to our development as individuals and also culturally.
Yeah, because I sense there is somehow this deep shift is also in a certain way a deep freedom or a certain relaxation even because in our culture we are so much about how we as individuals can do things and be someone and be creative and be all kinds of things to show, even be spiritual or whatever. But somehow it is still often very much located in ourselves. And so to me, what you are pointing to and also what emergent dialogue is opening to is sensing, oh, that doesn't really need to be the case, or it is not true ultimately, that all of that is actually happening in deep participation with life. And then it's also not my creativity. It's really more being open to the bigger creative forces of life. And we together can participate in that. But somehow the place, if you can say that, is not in myself, but it is in this space between. It is in interbeing where life actually happens and can show itself. And in that also, we are never separate from that life process because we are it. So I feel it puts who we are in a whole different light and freedom also from in a certain way trying to always be ourselves in a certain way but more becoming ourselves from that wholeness and giving to that process.
It so profoundly reframes who we are and what is possible between us. And it takes us kind of to the most fundamental level of life, and it's we become part of, or we recognize. I mean, it's interesting because there's a paradox here that we often stumble upon in this work, and that is the itting of interbeing. That it is like this, because there is a third thing, you could say. There is another dimension of human possibility and creativity and life and consciousness that is available, that isn't that one recognizes is somehow beyond us. And yet it is only perceived by us, through us, as us, that we are We are that also. And yet, all the years of conditioning, the history, etc., has left us disconnected from or separate from this creative force. And all the years of cultivating our individuation and our separateness from others has also given us the power and the possibility of making a choice for this, making a choice for this that is beyond, between, and in us. And it's that, this paradox between and a sense of it and the recognition that it is me, it is us, that it needs us, that we are the vehicle for its expression. And it's a delicate, delicate engagement that to not overwrite it with our preconceived ideas, and to allow something to emerge that comes into its wholeness. And that's one of the characteristics of this, is that, using the nice German word, that erreichness, that there is something that is catalyzed, that comes into a fullness and wholeness that no one would have predicted. And it's the experience is of coming home to one's deepest sense of this is truly me, and also being part of something that is well beyond any one of us. And that's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, and I think also that's where also points to the cultural significance, that it's not only a kind of spiritual experience or something like that, but some are also pointing to a way of being human together that somehow finds a deeper ground that we stand on, not certain ideas or opinions or whatever it might be, but more that openness to life in relationality and relationship that we are always in, and to at least open a door to a deeper, you know, a deeper togetherness as human beings that comes from the openness to this inherent qualities of life that we can all somehow recognize in certain moments and deep experiences, existential experiences, that there is something that life shows us about our common humanity, where that can come into a, also our difference can come in to a wholeness, because there is this deeper ground, and it doesn't need to always kind of end in conflict and kind of division.
Yeah, I think that's one of the powerful practical things of interbeing, that as you're saying, all of our differences are catalyzed into a synergy, and it's not, there can be real friction, but the friction is a source of creativity. And so often, I mean, I would say many, many, many of us are conflict avoidant. You know, it's like, let's smooth things over. Let's not get this, get too excited, or you know, get too in there. No sparks flying here. But the there's a potential, and this is part of what a developed practice of emergent dialogue can bring forward, is the capacity to hold incredible tension in order to allow this force of creativity to come through and bring something into its wholeness. And it's often a somewhat excruciating experience, but it's also absolutely thrilling because the conflict or the friction between opinions or perspectives or worldviews becomes the source or can become the source of a surprising emergence of a totally different way of thinking about something that has been at loggerheads for a long time.
Yeah, and as you're saying, that also really opens, somehow opens the horizon of the possible, because it's not about one position against the other and who is right or something like that, but it's opening to the intelligence of life to show us another way where, where different perspective make, contribute to, but that there's a new possibility that can show itself when we are open like that and participating in that process. And yeah, not trying to just have it our way, so to say.
Interbeing points to another way of being together. And maybe that just to mention that as of October 8th, we're going to be offering another cohort of emergent dialogue, which is a practice of interbeing. And we'll have the link below. But it's a practice program because this is not a theoretical exploration. This is how do we do this? How do we co-sense? How do we begin to pay attention to the field of awareness and bring it alive between us?
And as you're saying, I mean, with this practice program, which is very much, as I understand, also experience it, not just sharing information, but really, really practicing what we both now kind of investigated together. And can you say from your experience what this practice of emergent dialogue, how we say, opens for us, or what becomes available in also in a practice process that goes over a few weeks as we are doing now,
Months.
months,
Well, it makes available what it is that we've been talking about. It makes interbeing available. It gives us the experience and practice of coming together in dialogue, in conversation, and cultivating the capacity to sense the field and to begin to work with that intelligence that arises between us from the field. And that's, it's important that it be about practice. That it's something that we do together. That calls us into a more subtle awareness of the space between us, and it's and where it wants to go through us. So the point is to be able to open interbeing. And that's everything that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. It was beautiful to talk with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very much. And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye-bye.
Bye.